Hallelujah. I sense that someone has a word before I continue. Someone has a message. So if it's you, just raise your hand. I don't know when to plug you in. Someone has a message and it's important. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you once again. We lift up our voice just to worship you.
We bow down and worship Yahweh.
You've had a wonderful 4 days of active work. Hallelujah. Even as we look forward to the weekend. Amen. Hallelujah. James chapter 5. My emphasis is on verse 17. It talks about the fact that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. It says it was a man with nature like ours, and then he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3 years and 6 months. Hallelujah. And if we go to verse 16, it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. It says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Hallelujah. Then he went on to talk about the fact that Elijah was a man of like passion. I don't know what translation says it's like passion, but there's a translation that says he has a like passion. The NKJV says he has a nature like ours. Hallelujah. So that when you are thinking of Elijah, you are not thinking of any, how do you call it now? You are not thinking of UFO. You know what a UFO is? What's a UFO? Oh my God, that's why she's my wife. Hallelujah. Unidentified flying object. Amen. Okay, so don't think that it's just out of this space. That's why the Bible is saying this. That is nothing extraordinary about him. He's a man of like nature, just like you and myself. Okay? So if anybody is telling you that Elijah stopped, he prayed, and then it didn't rain for 3 years, and someone says, it's because he's a prophet. The Bible has made it clear that he has like manner, just like you and I. Hallelujah. But verse 16 gives a better picture and says, you know what? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And I think that we know that it is not the fact that prayer avails much that is critical. It's the fact that, number one, the vessel and the attitude of the vessel is what brings about the prayer. So first of all, it has to be that a righteous man is praying. Hallelujah. Amen. And he has to do that from a passionate angle. It says effective, fervent prayer. He has to do that from a very passionate angle for that prayer to avail much. Amen. So if you look at the life of Saul, I think it's Acts chapter 9, when he had his encounter with Christ, the Bible records that he was very zealous for the religion that he had adherence to, okay? So everything he did with so much zeal and passion, so much so that he became a terror to the people around him. And you know what? He translated that passion even when he was converted and became a righteous man, just like you and I. And I hope you know that his name was not changed to Paul. I hope you know that Saul's name was not changed to Paul. In case you don't know, Saul and Paul is the same person. One is of a Jewish origin, the other one is a Roman origin. Hallelujah. So there was no point where his name was ever changed to Paul. It was just that if he was in the midst of the Romans, he was addressed as Paul. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. So, now, the passion and zeal that you put into anything matters a great deal. So, you know, in this age and time, when I was Munachi's age, going to secondary school, primary school, secondary school. Okay? We were told to put in your best effort. and everybody wanted to become the first position in class, right? And then suddenly over the years, the emphasis, they started de-emphasizing you being first, okay? They started saying that it's for you to see the potential in a child, and then you're harnessing the potential and all that. And believe me, a lot of people began to drop, and that's why quality started dropping, okay? Now, the same thing was transposed to sports. So if you go to any sporting event now, they will tell you that it's not about winning. And I dare tell my children, I said, don't bother taking me to that sports field if you are not going to win. Because I don't understand what you want to go and do on the field just to participate. Now, you know what just to participate means? It means that when somebody is doing his best effort, okay, putting in his best effort to get a very good result. Because you just think you are just participating, you are just there. There was a time I was on field, and I think it was a relay race. And the idea was to come first, right? There was a relay race. And you know, relay races, there were 1, 2, 3, 4 people that were run. And I think the guy that was giving the baton, the third leg, just felt that it was a joke. And he started, and then that's what he was doing. Aha, you say, ah. And everybody in his team was like, oh my God. And I said, well, that's what happens when you tell people that it's just about participating. Okay? There will not be any passion, and there will not be any zeal. And the result you get, it will just be the result of you are just participating. Amen. Hallelujah. If you are not going to put passion or zeal into anything, then it's not worth your time. Because every time you put every time you expand, it's your life that is going. Hallelujah. So as we are seated here, and as the clock is ticking, that's your life that you're expending. In case you don't know, that's the currency you're exchanging for whatever you are gaining at any point in time. So if you're at your place of work, and you're there, and you're faffing all day, you know that's your life that you're burning. Okay? So the currency that we spend is the currency of time. Hallelujah. And if you are going to be spending time, you have to spend it wisely, judiciously, and in such a manner that as time moves, okay, you are attaining that which you want to attain. Amen. So, James chapter 5, verse 17 says that Elijah was a man of like nature, and then he prayed, and there was no rain for 3 years and 6 months. And then the next verse, and then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and there produced his fruit. Hallelujah. Amen. So it was just like he had the key to turning on and turning things off. Hallelujah. But this was recorded only once. That this happened with him only once. When I was in secondary school, I was reading a book about the greatest mysteries of the world. I think there were 100 mysteries of the world. And one of them was the fact that science up to now cannot account for one day in history. And why can't they account for one day in history? And if you go to the scriptures, I think it's the book of Joshua, where he stopped the sun over Mount Ajalon or what? I think it's Ajalon, but I don't know whether it's a mountain or whatever. He stopped it and it says, sun stand still. Okay? And science can't find that record of that one day. And they keep saying, they just don't want to admit it, but that's the only day that happened in the scriptures. He actually stopped the course of the sun. He says, hold on, we need you so that we can see. Hallelujah. Now, yeah, so the sun stood still on the blah, 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 blah. And it's written in the book of Joshua, so the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. So when I saw this in that book of 100 mysteries, I just laughed because I remember this story very well, that about a whole day, and so they couldn't account it. That means that 24 hours looked like 48 hours. So they couldn't account for that one. But that's not where I'm going. So when I was looking at the story of, when I was looking at James chapter 5 and verse 16, 17 and 18, I remember Romans 15 verse 4, which talks about that everything that was written for our learning. Okay? So that through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, you and I will have hope. Hallelujah. So what was so special about Elijah? Amen. That when when James was trying to encourage us, he said he's a like man, just like you and I. And then this is what he did, with that same nature that you and I have. Okay? Don't forget that a man is a spirit, lives in a body, and he has what? He has a soul. So that's the kind of person that Elijah was. And then if you go to the book of, I think, 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17. Okay, it says, and Elijah, the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, except as my word. Hallelujah. So first thing, that this was a conversation that Elijah had with Ahab. Right? Am I right? The Bible says, he said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, except as my word. Except as my word. So this is the prayer that the book of James refers to. And then you begin to, and then you look at it critically and say, how is this a prayer? Abi? How is this the prayer that you know the prayer? How will I say it now? How is this a prayer when you compare it to the prayer that you know that you know? So if I ask you that, make a prayer, and everybody's going to say, oh, it's 3 days ago, they said we should pray. No, it wasn't 3 days ago. It was even, I think it was last 2 days ago. Please give us a short prayer. That's how the person started from the beginning, while the day started. Short prayer. We just want to have a discussion. A short prayer. Now, so this is what Elijah said, and he ceased rain. Abby, am I wrong? You have a different opinion. This is what I saw, anyway, that happened. And after that, then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed the air. So he stopped the rain, and then God made provision for him for where he will get water. Okay? But he looked at everything around him, and the passion and zeal that he had for God, okay, he reached out into the very core and he spoke. Now, what was Ahab doing? If you go to 1 Kings chapter 16. The Bible records that Ahab was worse than all the kings before him when he came to defiling I want to pick out that verse. So from verse 30, it says, now Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord, more than all who were before him. And it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took as wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of Sidonians, and he went and sought Baal and worshipped him. Then he set up an altar of Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a wooden image. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. In his days, Ahab of Bethel built Jericho. He laid his foundation with Abiram the firstborn, and with his youngest son, Zebul, he set up his gates according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken to Joshua, the son of Nun. And then, the next verse. And then, the story of Elijah the Tishbite came up and he spoke to Ahab. So Ahab was dealing in things that were irritating God. He said he did evil. Hallelujah. Amen. He says he did evil. And please go back to 16:30. He says he did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. And it was this evil that he was doing that Elijah abhorred, okay? And out of that anger, he spoke. Hallelujah. Amen. If you remember Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1 that we've been reading, it talks about the fact that you walk before God. He says, Abraham, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I'm God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. And then we also remember the story of Job. That is Job chapter 1, verse 1. I talked about Job, okay, in the land of Uz. And then he says it was a man that was blameless. A man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. Hallelujah. So if you are following God and you are doing the will, or you are following the will of God, when anything contrary to his will comes near you, you are going to be provoked in the spirit. And you are, and since you are aligned with the thought of God, the things you speak, okay, will be established against that evil. Hallelujah. Amen. So all Elijah did was, he said to Ahab, as long, go back to Romans 17, it says, as the Lord God of Israel is before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years except at my word. I mean, he had involved God in that statement. So it was not just an ordinary conversation. It was a conversation that was laden with authority and had enough power to change the course of things in that land. Hallelujah. He says, as the Lord God lives. And since he was going, since what he was doing was, he was adhering and aligning to whatever God wills, okay? At that point, he says, as long as God lives, then this is going to happen. Except he was not doing anything according to God's will, then this would not have happened. So back to James chapter 5 and verse 17, he says, it was a man of like nature, and he prayed earnestly it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And then verse 18 says, he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. And so Elijah went to present himself to Ahab, and there was a severe famine in Samaria, and Ahab called Obadiah, who was in charge of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. But it was so, while Jezreel massacred the prophet of the Lord, that Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and eating them, 50 to a cave, and had fed them with bread and water. Okay? And Ahab said to Obadiah, go into the land of all the springs of the water, to all the brooks. Perhaps we might find grass to keep the horses and mule, so we will not have to kill any livestock. Now, God sent Elijah back, said, look, I am going to cause rain to happen. Hallelujah. Now, you see, the first instance, okay, Elijah spoke. He spoke on behalf of God. He spoke against evil on behalf of God, okay, and said, as long as God lives, okay, this is going to happen. It was to get Ahab and his people in tune with what God is doing or with what God wants. Hallelujah. Now, God says, God is telling Elijah, look, I want to send rain to the land. Okay, he says in verse 1, and he says, that the Lord, word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go present your Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. So even when it was, when it is recorded that he prayed the second time, Elijah was carrying out the will of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So the first one, it was that he wanted God's will to be done. And then he spoke. Okay? And everything he spoke, it was like, God is my witness. If this does not happen, it just means that if this does not happen, then I don't have a witness. And God will not be where his name will not be honored. Hallelujah. So the first time, it was a passionate plea. Hallelujah. It was a passionate thing. I was like, it was the pain and the passion he had when he saw that this is not God's will that is happening here. Okay? And this has to be entrenched. That's when he spoke. And then God said, I will send rain. And then he went back. Okay? And I think it's in verse 41. Elijah, I think 40 or 41. Same chapter. Go to 41. Aha. So after they had dealt with everything that God had brought. So if you look at verse 40, he was talking about the fact that, please go to verse 40. When they seized the prophets of Baal, did not let them escape. They seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook and executed them there. Okay? So that was after, that's that famous story that everybody knows. Abi, God of Elijah will send down fire. Hallelujah. Amen. That's one. So when he had dealt and executed the prophets of Baal, the Bible records here that in verse 1, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is sound of abundance of rain. Amen. So once all the iniquity was cleared, hallelujah, then the will of God was going to be superimposed on that land again. Amen. But nothing came without being at the instance of God. Hallelujah. So when we speak, and we are speaking and looking for God's will to be entrenched anywhere we are, be sure that you are backed up by God's power. Hallelujah. Amen. So, because it doesn't, you don't need to be more spiritual and holier than this, in quotes. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't need to be more spiritual than this. One, a righteous man, hallelujah, and fervent, and what? Effectual prayer that avails much. Okay? So if you want to see things happen, then it has to be aligned with God's word and aligned with God's will. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. When Christ was approached by his disciples, they said, Master, teach us to pray. And then he says, in this manner, therefore pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. And your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when everything about you, what you do, is geared towards honoring God's name and doing his will, the words that you speak, God is going to back them up with power because they will be consistent with what he wants to see. Now, it's not everything that you say. That's what I'm telling you, that as long as it's geared towards giving honor to his name and making sure that his will is established, then the words you speak will be established. Hallelujah. That's why when we pray, we see answers. Because it is not his will that anybody should be in captivity. Whether it's bondage of, any kind of captivity at all. People will tag captivity in any way they want to tag it. Whatever it is that anybody deems as captivity, it is not his will. In Isaiah chapter 61 from verse 1, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Please go back to verse 1. He says, to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prisons to those who are bound. Okay? Now, if anything at all falls within this this category of things that it's talking about, and you are saying things that is going to negate these negative things. Hallelujah. So that brings us to mathematics. You are saying things that will negate these negative things. What will they become? Huh? If you are saying something negative against a negative thing, what will it become? Eh? If my mama Nachi was there, she would have told you. If you say something negative against a negative thing, what will it become? It's going to be positive. Thank you. So these things are negative. It says those who are bond, those who are broken-hearted, those who are captives, okay? So as if you say to those who are captives, be free, you know that the be free you are saying is negative of being a captive. Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's negative of it because it's the opposite of it. If someone is captive, I say you are free. So you are making the person, you are making the person come out of that state of being a captive to freedom. Hallelujah. Amen. So when you negate negative things, okay, they become positive. Hallelujah. So when you speak along God's will to bring his will to pass, there's the outcome of whatever you're saying is too certain to be positive. Amen. So if you see someone as ill, for instance, it's not his desire that anybody should be healed. Okay? His Bible says by his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. Okay, he took away our infirmities and he bore our diseases. So when you pray for somebody, hallelujah, or you pray for anybody, or any situation that you are not comfortable with, okay? Once you pray, because it's along God's will, you are going to see the result. Let's go back to James chapter 5. And let's take it from verse 10. Let's continue. Verse 12. Verse 13. It says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him what? Let him pray. Hallelujah. And in the manner that Christ was talking about, he was saying that when you pray, pray in this manner. First is that you ensure that the God, name of God is hallowed. Hallelujah. And then his will be done. He says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Hallelujah. Amen. He did not ask the person that is cheerful to pray. He's asking the person that is cheerful to sing psalms. Then the next thing, is anyone among you sick? He says, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. Amen. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him, and if he has committed any sin, he will be forgiven. It says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Hallelujah. Amen. You pray for one another that you may be healed. And what needs healing? If something needs healing, it means that it's in a state of discomfort or disease. Okay? Hallelujah. That's why it needs healing. It says, you pray so that it may be healed. Hallelujah. And then it says, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. When we pray, we bring God's will to bear. Hallelujah. When we pray, the essence of your praying is to change the course of things around to align with the will of God. Amen. Now, it's not the stopping of the rain that was so important in what Elijah did. What Elijah was fighting against was the fact that Ahab was doing so much evil and had departed away from God. And so stopping the rain from falling, okay, was a call to order for Ahab. And since there was no repentance and all that, okay, then he took on the prophets of Baal. And God said, you know what, I'm going to cause rain to happen. And once he executed them, he said he hears the sound of the abundance of rain. Amen. So once he executed all the prophets of Baal, Okay? We make everywhere. He cleared all the evil in the land. Hallelujah. And then God's will was going to be established. So Bible records that they prayed again, and then there was rain. Hallelujah. And in James chapter 16, it says, confess to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. A righteous man is one that has a right standing with God. The one that understands that Christ came and he has substituted himself for you and I. Hallelujah. Amen. And he has given us that access to God. So that when we're in the presence of God, we're able to relate with him and to relate with him in the manner that we ought to. So in the beginning, this was the manner that Adam related with God. God will come in the cool of the evening, and then they will have fellowship. And that's what he's saying here. Once we are in right standing with God, we're able to approach him in the cool of the evening, in quote, hallelujah, without any stress, very calm, and we're able to have a conversation with God. Hallelujah. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I think verse 17, it says, you should pray without ceasing. Abi? Pray without ceasing. It's the one before it that says, rejoice always. Abi? So 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. In prayer, it is always about the will of God being entrenched. Amen. Hallelujah. It's always about God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. So if you are going to be praying and it has no element of God's will being sought in that prayer, it's next to nothing. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, if you want to know about God, what should you do? You're not going to sit down and pray. Amen. That you want to know about God. When you want to know about God, you're going to go into the scriptures and read the scriptures. Hallelujah. That's why Romans 15 verse 4 is very important. You go to the scriptures and you read and learn about God. Amen. That's where you will know his will. The will of God is made known in his word. Hallelujah. And so that when you are praying, you will not be praying amiss. Amen. If you're going to be walking before God blameless and you're going to be shunning evil, that means that you understand what is evil and what is not evil. Amen. You understand what evil is and what evil is not. Hallelujah. And so if you're going to shun evil, that means you understand that this is how God wants you to be and you'll be walking in God's will. It does not take any extra effort for God's will to be done, that he has taken Elijah. All Elijah saw was that everything that they were doing was totally against everything he understood that God stood for. Hallelujah. Everything that you understand that God stands for, if you will stand against that thing, the things that you say, you will see them come to pass. As long as it aligns with God's will. Amen. So it says that you should pray always, meaning that every time and at any opportunity that we have, it says we should pray always. Now, if we'll be praying always, then we'll be seeking the will of God all the time, everywhere we are. Because Elijah's prayer was an action to bring God's will to pass in that land. Okay? And then he said, I stand before you, God, what did he say again? God is my witness or something. Like 1 Kings chapter 17. Yeah, it says, as long as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, except as my word. Hallelujah. And God gave a nod to what he said. I said, fine, because that's his will. In Isaiah chapter 51, verse 16. says, and I've put my words in your mouth and hid you in the shadow, and I've put my word in your mouth and I've covered you with the shadow of my hands, that I may plant the heavens, lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. It says, I have put my words in your mouth. So if you are aligning with God's will, you will inadvertently be speaking God's will. Hallelujah. Amen. So what should we be doing? It's searching out the will of God in all things and at all times. Okay? If a situation comes up now, you cannot, it's not now that you'll be searching out God's will now. If something happens now, is it now that you look for God's will? You have had a foreknowledge or a pre-knowledge of God's will before situations happen. And that's why you'll be ready at all times. You'll be ready at all times to face every circumstance or any situation that comes your way. Because you will be digging, finding yourself, taking time. You see, we all have 24 hours on the clock to use. Okay? Some use 16 hours to sleep. No problem. So 24 minus 16. How much is remaining? 8. So the remaining 8 hours, they will spend in the office. So what's left? 0. And then they say, I don't have time. Hallelujah. So the first 8 hours, they will say, you're supposed to sleep 8 hours in a day, Abby. So some people will sleep from 6 p.m. or 12 midnight till like 7 a.m. That's 8 hours. And then they will start sleeping again in the night. So during the day, see, how we spend our time is very critical. You cannot prepare for war in time of war. You prepare for war when there is peace. I'm not saying there's going to be war, but I'm saying that is when there's... See, it's just like you want to become... how do you say it now? You want to become a doctor or something. You can't... It's not at this kind of my age that I will not say I want to go and start studying. Some people will do it, no problem. But do you know how much impact they will have had if they did it earlier? Amen. And the same thing, if you do not search out the scriptures to understand the will of God, you will not be able to practice God's will as you should. And you will not be able to understand that this does not conform with God's will. Hallelujah. We all know the left from the right. Everything is, this is right, this is wrong. Now, in every situation, how do you know God's will? Now, once you understand God's will, you will say anything and anything at all, and you will change the course of event towards God's will. Your prayer is meant to move you from a point where you are drifting away and to align with God's will. Amen. So if you are praying and it looks like God is not answering, then you begin to wonder, what am I praying about? Now it looks like. So when Daniel was going to pray, okay, he said Daniel understood by the books. Let me look for that scripture. I think it's the book of Daniel. He said, I, Daniel, I understood by the books. Meaning that once he read, he understood that, we're supposed to be slaves for 70 years. And this is the 70th year. Okay? And then he began to pray. Yeah, it says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years specified by the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in desolation of Jerusalem. Then I set myself towards the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wicked and rebelled, even departing from your precepts and your judgments. And neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets who spoke in your name to our kings and our priests, to our fathers and all the people of the land. And then he says, O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face as it is today. To the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, all Israel, those near and those far off, in the countries to which you have driven them because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. And he kept on praying. He says, O Lord,
to us belongs shame or face. Why did you cut it?
Same thing.
And our fathers, because we have sinned against you. Okay, the next one. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness. Though we have rebelled against him, we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord to walk in his laws, which is set before us by his servants, the prophet. And then he says, all of Israel transgressed your law and departed. So he read by the books. And he understood by the books that it's 70 years. So whatever he was praying in 70 years, you know what somebody that doesn't understand the books will say? Say, this Daniel is a very powerful man. He's the one that came to liberate us after 70 years. But he didn't come to liberate them. It wasn't because he prayed that they were liberated. It was because he was aligning his prayer with God's will at the right time. If he had made that prayer 20 years before, nothing would have happened. Okay? And those 70 years would still have been accomplished because that's what God has laid down. But once he found out the will of God, it was time for him to act on the will of God that he understood. Hallelujah. And then he prayed. Amen. When you search out God's will, it empowers you to be able to understand the things that you pray for. Hallelujah. You'll be out of place for a 5-year-old boy or a 10-year-old boy to be praying and can be looking for a wife at that age. You'll be out of place. So what does he want to do with a wife at that age? Amen. And that's why when things happen to us and when we stay long or we're doing a lot of time in prayer, the first thing that is always important is, am I praying according to God's will? I think Romans 12, verse 1 and verse 2 talks about that. I think verse 2, it talks about the fact that it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, that you may prove. Amen. That you may prove the perfect will of God. So if our steps are ordered by the Lord, then it has to be that we are following the Lord's steps and doing things according to his will. Let's rise to our feet. Let us talk to God. Understanding his will is important. And his will is made known in his word. And what we should be working towards is a lot of time in the word of God and a lot of retention of what you understand by his word. Amen. Lord, we give you praise and we thank you. Thank you because your word will not be alien to us. Your will will not be alien, far away from us. We'll have an understanding of what your will is. And we are able to act upon that knowledge that we have. Thank you because indeed there is wisdom and there is knowledge. Wisdom enough to direct us, able to do the things by your word. We give you all the praise and power, glory. In Jesus' name we pray.